You might recall in the beginning when Doug Ford became Premier of Ontario, he said Ontario was open for business. And that sounded a lot like trading with the United States and other countries. And I think that's what he was talking about. But now he's talking about trade between the provinces as well. In fact, he said, "Isn't it amazing how we can trade with our United States, our greatest partners and friends, easier than I can trade with BC or I can trade with Alberta? And I know there was a little hiccup with the pandemic, but we're all moving forward. What is the deal with trade restrictions between provinces in Canada? How has that ever been a thing, and how was it legal?" Well, joining me now, international trade lawyer Mark Warner. Mark, good morning.
Morning, Jerry.
So it's true, isn't it, that we actually have barriers of trade? I know that the wine people complain about this all the time, between provinces.
That is true. I mean, it goes right back to the time of Confederation, where we basically tried to, each of these different provinces who joined had their own little domestic politics, if you like, and domestic industries, and we kind of tolerated it. And although there's something in the original British North America Act, or what we call the Constitution Act of 1867, that would give the federal government the power to sort of override a lot of those restrictions on interprovincial trade, no federal government ever since 1867 has really wanted to carry that fight. And so these things have grown up over time. And what we do have is had a series of initiatives that have been taken over the years to have the provinces come together, sit down and agree to lift some of these restrictions. But it's always difficult, whether it's in regulation of products or certification of various workers, construction workers, if that sort of thing, or whether it's in simply whose beer are you going to sell and where is it going to be on what shelf is it going to be in your liquor store, that sort of thing.
Okay, but I don't understand why it should be complicated. I think what you're saying is that the politicians think it's politically complicated, but this is one country, and a barrier to trade between Ontario and British Columbia with wine or any other product, it just seems to me that a prime minister and a government could just say, a federal government could just say, look, that stuff is just not legal, and it stops now.
The problem is they'd have to go to court to do it, and very few prime ministers are willing. Because it's basically, it would be fought. I mean, you'd have to pass the government of Canada would have to basically legislate to say that we are going to say that such and such a thing is a trade between the provinces, and it violates the Constitution. And so we've had a case recently involving the sale of beer, how much beer you can take across the border from New Brunswick to Quebec. And there was a slight opening in that from the Supreme Court. But so far, very few, and that was an individual who challenged that, rally. It wasn't even a government to challenge that provision. So that's kind of the state of the art. What's interesting, though, Jerry, I'll tell you, is I had a little bit of involvement in this when I was in the Ontario government. It's that what led to some of the opening of these rules in the last 10 years was the negotiation of the Canada-Europe trade negotiation. Because as a country, we gave Europe access to things on procurement and regulations and approval of certification of products that we had never done between the provinces before. And so at that moment, people said, well, we should at least do between us what we're agreeing to do with Europe. And that's ironically how some of that has happened in Canada. And the question going forward, I guess, for Ontario, I mean, I did listen to what Premier Ford said. If Ontario, being the biggest dog were, in the country sort of thing, were to unilaterally open its markets, say, we don't care what you're doing, Saskatchewan or Alberta or British Columbia or PEI, wherever, we're doing it. And then that would be an interesting sort of challenge. But if the position, and I wasn't clear from reading Premier Ford, whether he's saying he wants to just intensify the negotiations with other provinces, that will be as fraught, it seems to me, as it's always been. There'll always be objections. Every little province has their their special interest in their various industries, and that's what just makes it difficult to negotiate.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it was, here's a hardcore policy we've put together. He was speaking to the Halton Region Chamber of Commerce on Monday, and Ford said his top priority when speaking to fellow premiers is removing the border barriers that slow down and block the smooth flow of goods. I'm talking to international trade lawyer Mark Warner on this. And I think you touched on something really important, and that is Ontario matters. I mean, we've got, what is it, a third of the population of this country, and could just sort of embarrass maybe some of the other provinces into doing it by just saying, we'd accept products coming into Ontario from any other province. If the other provinces want to be recalcitrant and not accept Ontario products, they can explain to the people of the country why they want to do that.
I think that's sort of the way to go. And that would be, you know, that would certainly be interesting for Quebec. I mean, some of the provinces would just say, well, thank you very much. We never liked you anyway. We'll take advantage of it.
But I think Quebec would do that.
It would change the dynamic around the table because, I mean, even recently, even in the time, I believe, that Doug Ford has been the premier, you know, Saskatchewan has objected to some issues involving beer, you know, the placement of beer in the LCBOs or in Ontario, in the brewer's retail, whatever we call it nowadays. So that's the interesting opportunity. On the other hand, you know, some of this stuff also has to do with the certification of labor. And I think the other piece of what he said is he sort of was very pro-immigration. And that also cuts two ways, because the question then is, what are you doing with the certification of the people who are coming in from other countries? Do you know what I mean? What do we know about these universities and colleges and whatever country it is? And that's also been an issue that's come up with some of our trading partners to say, well, it's all well and good for you, Canada, to do that. But if we're going to have an agreement with you that makes it easier for Canadian, let's say, doctors to come to Germany, we want to make sure that you've actually certified them in Canada and not in X country, which I won't name just to be politically correct. You know, and that's actually part of what comes up. So that's also, that shouldn't be an issue between the provinces, though. We should be fairly comfortable that if you're certified to be a doctor in Newfoundland, you should be able to be a doctor in Ontario.
I don't think that the people in the various provinces are somehow physiologically built different.
Well, I haven't traveled all over the country, but parts of the country.
All right, so maybe they're different in the places you haven't been. But here's the thing, Mark Warner. It seems to me that these trade barriers are essentially put in place due to the lobbying of corporations, because it's never actually to the benefit of the ordinary Canadian.
I think that that's true. Although, you know, at various points in our history, construction workers, when we've had periods of high unemployment, these days we don't tend to have as much high unemployment as we used to, let's say in the 70s, the argument would have been the construction workers from Quebec were coming into Ontario and stealing Ontario construction worker jobs. And now that doesn't tend to, we haven't really had that problem in about 20, 25 years. So it's not like Albertans were screaming and yelling about all the Newfoundlanders coming and stealing their jobs in Fort McMurray. They were basically standing at the airports welcoming them to help get the oil out of the ground.
Mark, I want to stop you because I only ever have so much time. I was really talking about the trade restrictions, like the idea of this product can't move from one province to another province without all kinds of hoops and all that kind of stuff. That's never to the benefit of the actual consumer.
It's never to the benefit of the consumer, but that's always the question in Canada: is do consumers matter or do producers matter? And sometimes Canadians tend to identify more as producers than consumers, certainly relative to Americans. I think that is the case. So, to what extent, if you're working at a Labatt's brewery in Ontario, do you feel yourself tied to that policy, the preferences? You know, whatever historically Labatt's or Molson's plant was here in Ontario, as opposed to, let's say, in some neighboring province. So that's always been the issue. But I think it's worth the province testing. And I think, the way to go, I would, if I were recommending it, because I'm a bit of an idealist on this stuff, I would say, throw the doors open, Ontario, and let's see what happens. Because I think that would really change the dynamic of the discussion.
Sure. I believe, and especially within a country, just have free trade between the provinces, and whether it works out best for the corporations or the public, I think ultimately the marketplace will bring about a situation where it works best for everybody. But always good to talk to you, Mark Warner, international trade lawyer. Thanks for your input on this.
Thanks for talking to me.
All right. Head to Newstalk1010.com now for your chance to win 4 tickets to Immersive Van Gogh. Step inside the iconic works of Van Gogh, evoking his highly emotional and chaotic inner consciousness through art, light, music, movement, and imagination. They're amazing paintings to look at, aren't they? In some cases, you look, I could do that. And then, no, you can't. The exhibit was designed by creator Massimiliano Sicardi, with soundtrack by Italian composer Luca Lombardi. Immerse immersive Van Gogh. On now until May 30th at 1 Yonge Street in Toronto. Coming up, a racially divided Toronto murder verdict highlights problems with Ontario juries. We'll discuss that coming up. I'm Jerry Agar. You're listening to the iHeartRadio Talk Network.